Hello and welcome back. So we're going to welcome back to verse by verse Bible teaching. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. We're going to pick it up where we left off. I left off very excited at what we were teaching and preaching on in our last message. We're in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and we're looking at verses 15 through 17. We've been here for quite a few messages now. And the reason is because verses 15 through 17 talk about the punches of the devil, that is the weapons that he uses to corrupt both Christians and non-Christians alike. And so what we're doing is we're looking at those three punches and we're trying to literally set up camp in the enemy's territory in an attempt to expose the weapons of our warfare. My name is Matthew Monona, and these verse-by-verse Bible teachings are brought to you by The Wash and Word, which is our hand car washing business. My wife Victoria and I have opened up the Wash and Word, and we do it so we can get these Bible teachings into your ear. I want to remind you to come to the parking lot of the Wash and Word anywhere in this area and tune to 107.1 FM. We play these messages on a loop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So anytime you need to hear a word from God, whether it's 2 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon, just come by the Wash and Word. We can be open or closed. You don't even have to get your car washed. We just want this parking lot to be known as a place where you can come and get and hear a message from the Lord, because we all need to hear from the Lord once in a while, don't we? If you have any questions about this business or ministry, go to washandword.com, and you can listen to and download the archived messages if you've missed any leading up to where we are today. And where we are today is, again, second chapter of 1 John, and we're looking at the three punches of Satan: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, we already looked at the lust of the flesh, and this is, we talked about how the desires of the flesh, these fleshly, worldly desires that we have, are actually God-given. And remember, you can go to washandword.com to hear that message, but they actually are God-given. God gave us desires of the flesh, and the Satan has turned them into lust of the flesh. See, there's a difference between desires, fleshly desires, and lustful fleshly desires. And we talked extensively about that, so I don't want to get too much more into that. In our last teaching, we talked about the lust of the eyes. And of course, it means caring for what you see. Careful little eyes, what you see. Our eyes are the windows to the soul. Our eyes are the first thing that visualizes what ultimately becomes a physical sin in our lives. Yes, the visual aspect of our eyes are very important to protect, but we went beyond that, if you were with us in our last teaching. And we said that it goes beyond what we see. It goes to our thinking. And we kind of related it to how, like, when you understand something after you didn't understand it, we say the words, "Oh, now I see. Oh, I see what you're saying." So the mind sees, the mind understands, and to have a lust of the eye is to have a lust. Remember, the desires of the eye, or even the desires of the mind, to inquire of things, to seek after things, to look into things and learn things. There's nothing wrong with that. God gave us a desire of the eye, whether it be of the physical sight or whether it be the desire of the eye as it pertains to the mind, because the eyes transfer everything to the mind, right? Your brain receives what your eyes see, and those synapses go through your body and act it out in a very physical way. So God gave us a desire to see with our eyes, a desire to see with our minds, to understand, but then the devil turned it into a lust. Remember, we talked about the difference between a desire and a lust. And the lust of the eye says, I must understand this. The lust of the eye says, I must grasp what I'm seeing. Whereas the desires of the eye forces us to seek out education. But we also must understand that God didn't give us a mind that can understand everything. And that is the very essence of the Christian faith, isn't it? Stepping out on faith. We cannot understand everything about this Christian faith. Even after we become Christians, we get a much greater understanding because now we have the mind of Christ and the Spirit of God to reveal everything to us. But the Bible very specifically and clearly says that we are not meant to understand everything. God's ways and his mind and his thoughts are higher than ours. So there are aspects of Christianity that we don't understand, and we never will. And that's okay. That's how it was designed to be. But you see, lust of the eyes says, I must understand. And this is how the devil has used desires of the eye or desires of the mind to know things and used them to pervert and keep people from coming to Christ. I can't come to Christ if I don't understand fully what it means to be a Christian. And so many people are still in the dark because the devil has perverted the gift of sight, both visually and mentally, and he has used it to keep people away from Jesus. So that's the first two punches, and now we're going to get into the final of the three, and that is the pride of life, or the boasting of what we have done. And this is the one punch that extends outwards towards others. This encompasses so much. And while the other two are very self-centered in regards to desiring what we want or see or what we have to get our hands on, this one, while also being self-centered in nature, also has to do with others, the pride of life, the boasting of what one has done. This is the punch that festers hatred and jealousy and envy and strife. And not only that, but it takes pleasure in acting upon them. We see this in the automobile industry and our ever and non-satisfying quest to not just own the better car, but the one that's better than yours. This is the punch of the enemy that says in its heart that I make more money than you, and I have a more successful life than you, and I have a prettier wife than you. Sorry, guys, but I do. And it also says, I, period. It's the pride of I. And so this could simply be called the lust of I, as opposed to the lust of, or the pride of life. So we have the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, but this could be considered a lust of the eye, the pride. I remember when I bought a brand new AC unit down in Florida. It was the XL19. Yeah, it was big. It was powerful. We got it put in. And not very much longer, we walked into Home Depot and saw the new XL20. And man, did my lust of eye kind of kick in. Now, listen, God wants us to have the greatest of things. He wants us to have AC in our cars, in our house, or whatever, but he doesn't want us to have a burning desire within our heart that says, I must trump my neighbor, or even I must trump myself. Why do you think we have an iPhone, what are we at now, 15? If you're still walking around with the iPhone 8, sure, there's a few things that the new iPhone can do, but we have to keep trumping ourselves. It's not even about the others anymore. Not only do we need to be prettier and smarter and richer than our neighbors, but now we need to be prettier and smarter and richer than our former selves. Listen, God made it clear that we cannot worship God and mammon at the same time. And so as we wind this teaching down, we've been in it for, I think, 4 or 5 15-minute sermons now, but I want to go in with a few scriptures and a few quotes here. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now we know this. We understand this scripture. And yet we, even as Christians, even as seasoned believers, are constantly trying to figure out how to rationalize and reconcile the things of the world that we still desire with the things of God that he desires for us. And listen, friends, if you live with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, you're never, ever, 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 did I say ever? You're never going to be happy. Because with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, there's just simply too much of the world in you to enjoy the things of God, and there's too much of God in you to enjoy the things of the world. And so this not serving two masters thing isn't something you're just going to grow into. This is a moral and volitional decision and choice that you have to make. And Jesus isn't giving you an option here. He's not saying, well, you know, you probably shouldn't try to worship God and money, or you shouldn't try to... No, this is a very black and white, very John-like saying in Matthew 6. He says, you cannot serve both God and money. Not, I forbid it. Not, you shouldn't. Not, don't do it. He's saying you can't. Like, it's impossible. It's physically, no matter how hard you try, impossible to please both masters. You cannot. It's even if you found a way to reconcile it and clear your conscience about it, he's saying it's impossible to do because you can't please them both. James 4:4 says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is what? Hatred towards God." That's pretty clear and plain, isn't it? That same verse, James 4:4, "Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." You see, there's no suggestion here. There isn't God or Jesus or James saying, you know, if you try to do this, it's just not going to... He's saying you can't do it. Try as you may, whatever excuse you want to come up with, it's simply impossible, because if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. End of story. Again, there's no choices here. It simply is fact. Another scripture, 2 Timothy 4:9 through 10. "Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved the world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica." And so Paul is writing to Timothy saying, come to me. I had somebody with me to support me, to bring me the things I needed. Paul is in jail at this time, under arrest, and he no longer has this person because Demas apparently deemed the world to be more important to him than serving the Lord. Oh, how we do this so subtly in our lives. You know, I heard that the proper way to boil a frog isn't to throw the frog into boiling water, because the frog, the moment he touches the boiling water, literally can leap using the surface of the water out of the pot. But they say to put the frog into nice lukewarm water and gradually increase the heat, and before you know it, he doesn't even realize what had happened. That's how the devil works with us. He subtly and slowly creeps in. Remember, bad theology leads to bad thinking, and bad thinking leads to bad living. We talked about that a few messages ago. And you know what? If you missed any of these messages, you can go to washandword.com. Wash, the letter N, word.com. Download and listen to for free our archive messages that we've already preached. Martin Luther once wrote, "I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But the things that I have placed in God's hands, I still possess." Jim Elliot, the famous missionary who was killed for his faith, said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, that is his life, to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who can give what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And so I want to close this teaching on verses 15 through 17 in chapter 2 of the book of 1 John by looking at the first part of verse 18. He says, "Dear children, this is the last hour." And friends, listen to this. "The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be burned up. Since everything will be destroyed this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed that it is coming. That day will bring about the destructions of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat." Dear friends, this is the last hour. Isn't it time we take a good, hard look at our lives and figure out what's important? Start taking an inventory and start cleaning out stuff that's just holding us back. Once again, I pray these teachings are blessing you. If they're not, I don't have anything else to give. It's me with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Anything else? That's all I have. And I hope they're blessing you. Listen, if you like verse-by-verse Bible teaching, come join me Sunday nights at 6 p.m. at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road. Again, any questions, go to washandword.com.